That is the voice of the great Pat Hughes. Those highlights courtesy of us. 670 The Score. Not far from us here is Pat Hughes, but right next to us now on 670 The Score on Hit and Run with Joe Ostrowski and Barry Rosner is the one and only Kyle Hendricks. Morning, Kyle.
Morning, guys. Thanks
are you you surviving the weekend okay?
Oh, please. I'm having a blast, man. Look at this. This
is
like this everywhere.
All right, so last year we talked to Kyle Hendricks on Hit and Run on this very show in another spot in the hotel, and there were maybe, 15, 20 people here watching you.
Maybe, yeah.
And now there's, I don't know how many. There are hundreds here, and it's a little scary. Do you feel like at all a caged animal?
You know, at times, maybe. No, do you know?
Isn't this amazing?
This is awesome.
It's been like this everywhere. This is the rest of your life now.
Seriously.
Do you get used to the idea? Have you been able to get used to the idea? You are a World Series champion.
It's still hard. It's sunk in maybe that we've won it. I think that part's sunk in, but the part of how much it's affected the fans, you know, that kind of thing, just generations of people, I think it's going to take, I've talked to some of the other players about it, it might take 10 to 20 years, that kind of thing. When people are still talking about this team and what's happened and the moments, 20 years from now, it might sink in more for us.
If you're one of them, I mean, I don't know if you get a real concept of the magnitude for them. I don't know if you're able to. Maybe that might not even be possible. It may never be possible for you. But have you started to sort of feel what this means to people?
Yeah, you can feel the energy and the excitement, but I think you're 100% right. You can't fathom it just because, I mean, I've only been on the team for a couple of years. You know, these people, they've grown up their whole lives. They've had dads, grandfathers, everybody. You know, they're just loyal fans, so I think that's the part we're not going to be able to fathom, but just seeing all the joy and excitement, having people come up to you saying thank you, you know, those, like, we don't know what to say sometimes when people tell us thank you.
Is that cool though, like, to realize what you've given? I mean, what you have given to these people?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, you play the game, you're always wanting to win and win championships, but to win this kind of championship for this situation, this kind of franchise, it's a once in a lifetime experience, you know, once in a lifetime moment, and it's not going to happen to anybody else, obviously.
I hope you don't get sick of it, because it is never, ever going to stop. We still talk about 30 years ago, a Super Bowl that happened in this city, and that before what happened with you guys, that was the greatest moment in Chicago sports history. And half of those guys are working in media still. And so people are sick of it because we want to move on. We've moved on a little bit here as far as
the
greatest moment. Sorry. Okay, I do.
Anybody here sick of the 85 Bears?
No!
All right. Careful, Joe.
I'd like to win again. How about that? You know, you're not supposed to be Clayton Kershaw in Game 6 in the NLCS. That is not supposed to happen, even though you're a guy that ends up in the top three in Cy Young voting, and you look at the numbers all year long, and this is not supposed to happen. This is not supposed to happen. You go out there, and everyone's expecting a Game 7, but you take care of the Dodgers.
I don't think we were supposed to score five runs off of them.
That's
either,
true.
You know? So honestly, that was the biggest part of that game. It was one of those games where you throw the first pitch and then it seems like you blink and all of a sudden the game's over. You know, it's one of those special moments, special games for me that it was just kind of on autopilot. Just one of those lucky situations. But overall, like I just said, you know, scoring five runs off of Clayton Kershaw, what the offense was able to do for us, really through the whole playoffs and then in the Indian series as well. It was just so many cool experiences, so many cool moments, and all the ovations from the fans the whole time along the way.
I'd imagine the 2016 playoffs were very different than 2015. I don't remember if I've seen a player like you. It doesn't matter what the atmosphere is. You have a huge strikeout in a big moment. Everybody's going nuts. Calmly walking off the field. You're as cool as a cucumber.
You know, I guess that's just my personality. There's a lot in here, trust me. There's a lot of competitive spirit, a lot of fire in here going, and I feel the emotion. You know, you want to let it out, but I guess just my personality, just how I work, it's always been that way for me, you know, and just try and stick with that, just be myself.
I speak for everyone in the press box who was on deadline, like me, and everyone standing here, I would imagine, so let me go ahead and beat a dead horse and ask you what was going through your mind after 63 pitches when you got squeezed by an umpire who got you twice just in that particular at-bat, but you had just had your two best innings of the day, and outs are gold, and you're just trying to get to a finish line. How stunned were you to come out of Game 7, and how have you moved on from that moment?
yeah, like I kind of said before, being a competitor, being in that competitive moment, nobody ever wants to come out of that game. You know, you can't lie about that. You want the ball, you want to be in that situation. That's what you play for. But at the end of the day, game seven with the Chicago Cubs, look who you got coming in behind me. You got John Lester. And then who else is up and ready? You got Arrieta, Lackey, Chapman. I mean, everybody's ready to go for that game. So if I stay in there, the hitters get more and more looks at me. Who knows? Maybe they get more comfortable. They start gaining a little momentum. Yeah, I mean, I felt really good. I was making good pitches. But you never know what can happen in a game. And sitting in Joe's situation, he's the only guy that can make those decisions. Trust me. It's so hard to sit in that dugout and do it in the moment.
You are a smart guy. You are a smart guy.
I play it off
that,
well.
That's a really good answer. That's a really good answer. Joe was mentioning, you know, pitching in the World Series and seemingly being unaffected by the moment. You go from Game 6 in the NLCS, clinching game against Clayton Kershaw, which is, you know, kind of a big deal. You go from that. Now, what is the exponential from that to Game 7 of the World Series? Not just for this franchise, but if it were any. What does it feel like? How do you keep yourself in this emotional place where you're able to perform?
Yeah, Game 7 was, I guess, ramped up a lot more for me than Game 6 of the NLCS. So day of, it's all in the build-up. You know, the day before the game, all the build-up towards it. You just get the anxiety. You just want to be out there, and you just want to get it started. You know you're going to be comfortable. You know you're comfortable on the mound. That's where you want to be, but just building up to that moment. So you just got to stay in a good mindset, you know, stay calm, relaxed. You know what you got to do out there. Once you get on the field and start warming up, it all feels normal.
Does it just feel like a game at that point?
It does. It really does. Yeah, because you rely on your routine. You know, you've been doing the same five-day routine, the same thing. You're going into the field with your same teammates. You rely on those guys. It's not just you out there. Trust me. It really is like that.
That feel like just a game to anybody here when he's warming up for Game 7?
You know, you can't put too much on it. Yeah. You can't put too much on it. It'll affect you.
I know you're professional. Yeah. I know these are the sorts of things that you study, too, and this is a big part of who you are, being able to stay in that moment and just have it be that moment and not something more than that. But that's extraordinary that you could say that and really mean that. Is that something that you have to practice, or is that just who you are?
I think it's part of my personality. I'm definitely laid back, but you have to practice it. It's through the minor leagues. You're working on your whole routine. Once you have a solid routine that you really can rely on, there's nothing else that can make you feel more comfortable. You know, you have your 5 days. I know exactly how I'm going to feel pretty much come game day. And I was in that mode. I got in that mindset, and pretty much all through playoffs, I felt that way. I felt good. So when you're like that, you got the offense we got behind us. I mean, we got runs off Kluber, starting off the game with Dex, hitting a homer. 1-0 leads are always good. So, you know, whenever you got a lead, for me, you know, I like to throw strikes. You can pound the strikes some more. You know, things just kind of really helped in my favor. Got some runs and allowed me to just go from there.
I know all these Cubs fans here were sick to their stomach during that rain delay. So what was going on? We've heard different stories about what happened with Jason Hayward. During that short rain delay, what was going on?
Yeah, so we all, immediately as the rain delay started, called everybody into this tiny weight room in Cleveland. You know, it's right underneath the dugout, kind of small walk down there, and everybody was in there. We couldn't find a couple guys. Chapman was nowhere to kind of be found. Barassi had to leave and go find him, and he was emotional, so we had to pull him in there. Everybody was kind of feeling it, but Hayward got everybody together and said really what needed to be said, you know, just among the guys. Just said, it's about us. It's about the guys in this room. We've been doing it all year long, and nobody's winning this game right now. It's tied. You know, we're not losing. They're not winning. Nobody's crowned a winner, and we're the best team. So let's go out and show it. That's pretty much all he told us.
In a time where we're always looking at numbers and stats, and I know you do too, and a lot of that is very important. We talk about on this show a lot that confidence really matters a ton. Do you think that changed the confidence of the locker room at that moment?
100%. I mean, while I was in the game, was probably the most calm that I felt. As soon as I was out, I was a nervous wreck having to watch that game. You know, I felt a lot like you guys probably did. So, out of control, you know, of what could happen. So, yeah, guys, as soon as that home run was hit, I mean, I'm sure a lot of us felt like we were losing. You know, we felt like we kind of had the game, we had a good lead, and we had our guy in there. We had everything going our way, and then for that to happen really was a blow. So, it came at the perfect moment, and to kind of get everybody back feeling good, it really just turned the momentum, I think, of our team, and was able to go out there leading off with Schwarbs, you know, the rest of history.
Anything about what you did last year surprise you? Any part of it?
Definitely. I mean, the goals I had for myself coming from the year before were nothing that I close to where I accomplished, you know. But that's why I think you set goals for yourself, but at the end of the day, they're almost in the back of your head because you really just got to take it day to day.
It's process,
yeah,
right?
You focus on the process and you just go day to day because as you get better and better, you're always just wanting to improve, you know, so you don't want to limit yourself. So as soon as I saw what I started to do in the second half, I just tried to stay in that same mindset, stay in my routine like I talked about, and just ride it out through the end of the year.
I go back a long way with Greg Maddux, and I talked to him about you last fall. I think you and I might have talked about this during the postseason. But you, when you hear him say something like, I like watching him pitch, I like guys that rely on movement and location, I can relate to him, that's what I had to do. I'd rather watch him pitch than some lefty throwing 98 miles an hour. When you hear Greg Maddux talk about you as someone he likes to watch on TV, what does that say to you?
Yeah, that's some of the highest praise you can get right there. I mean, one of the greatest pitchers of all time in my eyes, and I know our games are very similar, but I only saw him pitch kind of towards the end of his career, so I didn't necessarily model my game after him, but
just so
I can
happens
see,
it's
yes,
similar?
Yes, it is very similar, but I can tell the mindset, kind of the mental approach he took to the game is very similar to what just trying to make a good pitch in the moment, you know, simplifying as much as you can. I know that's really what he focused on when he was during his career, so... But to have good things said about you from him, I mean, how could you not love that? Obviously, one of the best.
ERA isn't everything, but something you don't see is guys cut it in half. You went from a 3.95 ERA down to a 2.13 ERA. What was different between 2015 and 2016?
There was a lot. In 2015, I kind of was out of my mechanics, you know, especially halfway through the year. So every time I was taking the mound, I really could only rely on my two pitches. I had a two-seam changeup. Nothing was feeling good. I didn't really have that confidence going. Coming into 16 this year, right from spring training, I was in my mechanics. Boz helped me a lot with that. And just from the start, we were able to kind of take off and go. Once you're in your mechanics, you don't have to think about the physical aspect of it. I was able to use my curveball, my four-seam fastball, you know, keep hitters off balance a lot better, pitch inside better, really focus on how to pitch, you know, more. So it's all just being able to, from day one in spring training, making sure your body's ready so you can get into your mechanics, get ready as soon as possible, and then just seeing what the hitters come at you with. You know, they're always adapting and changing, and the game's always changing, so you got to be aware of that.
How much time during the week getting ready for your next start do you spend on film? How much do you spend on just looking at some of the data of what you expect to be the lineup once you face your next opponent?
I spend a good amount of time going over the scouting report and video. Definitely the day before my start, sometimes 2 days before my start, but we have some guys in the organization, our analytics team, and Mike Borzello in particular, who is our catching coach, but he puts together our scouting reports for us. He spends hours and hours putting these things together for each series coming up for us, and it's a tremendous help. It kind of gets us started. It gives me all the information I need so I don't have to spend hours sitting in there doing it. I have everything I need, and I know what I can go to look for. So, but you got to put in a lot of time for me. You know, I rely on scouting reports for my pitching style, and it's a huge aspect in my game. So going and watching video the day before I start is always big for me.
Did it take some time to figure out what was the right process for you? Because I could imagine, first starting out at this level, you want to take in all the information you possibly can. But then there's also something that some people go through called information overload, no matter what you're talking about. Did that take some time?
100%. There's a fine line of how much information you want to put in your head. You know, you've got to be able to go and get it when you need it on the mound, which is a tough situation. So, yeah, coming up, as soon as you're called up to the big leagues, it's kind of a different situation. You don't have any of this video in the minors. So you don't know what information is good for you, what isn't. You really have to kind of navigate, find your way through. But this year, I really, you know, found a good routine for me, found what information really
helped. Yeah, I think so.
About, you know, so hopefully I can run with him here, but it's taken a couple of years. Yeah, it's a process like anything else.
Kyle, we got to let you go, but before we do, you'll be traveling to Washington tonight. You'll get to go to the White House tomorrow. Has it occurred to you that when you leave that building tomorrow, that's really the end of this three-month-long celebration that doesn't seem to end at any point and just seems to get bigger and bigger? That's really the end of the 2016 season. That's the end of you being teammates with guys like Dexter Fowler and David Ross and others. Have you started to think about that, or have you just preferred not to go down that road yet?
No, I think it is a good time. It's going to be a good capper, a good end to it. At this point, we're all kind of working out. We're all back in our routine. We're throwing again. So coming to this convention is really cool for us, though. We haven't been around our teammates for a couple months now. We get to all come back, reminisce, you know, talk about last year and what's happened. But I guarantee you, backstage, all we're really talking about is next year. We're talking about spring training. We're talking about how your workout's going, you know, amongst ourselves. How's your throwing going? So guys are definitely looking towards the future. And tomorrow's going to be awesome to get to go to the White House, but definitely to be able to end the season and really put our focus on getting ready for spring training and going into next year.
Sounds like you're ready for it. Sounds like you're ready for 2017 already.
We're ready. We're ready to go.
On behalf of the thousands now who have gathered here in front of us, thank you, Kyle Hendricks, for 2016. Congrats on a terrific year, on being a Cy Young finalist, for winning the World Series, and thanks for being here today.
Of course, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Kyle Hendricks.
Thank you. Thank you.